Big news in the Badlands in recent days. Snøhetta, a world-famous firm founded in Oslo, Norway, has been named the winner of the architectural design competition for the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library to be built in the beautiful Badlands of North Dakota. T.R.'s cousin, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, invented the Presidential Library, much as we know it today, in 1938, having donated the land and funded the construction in Hyde Park, New York. Franklin attended the cornerstone ceremony for his own presidential library. In 1957, former Presidents Hoover and Truman attended the dedication of Truman's Presidential Library in Independence, Missouri. In 1962, this bipartisanship prevailed as both men attended the dedication of Hoover's Presidential Library in West Branch, Iowa. Today, every president from Hoover through George W. Bush has a presidential library. President Eisenhower in Abilene, Kansas, John F. Kennedy in Boston, Mass. Lyndon Baines Johnson is joined in Texas by both Presidents Bush. President Ford is memorialized in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and President Carter has his library in Atlanta, Georgia. Presidents Nixon and Reagan have libraries in California, and President Clinton in Little Rock, Arkansas. President Obama's library is planned for Chicago, Illinois, and when completed, will mark the second presidential library in the land of Lincoln. Honest Abe's library in Springfield was dedicated in 2005. These presidential libraries are more than just depositories for the papers of presidents, more than just museums displaying historic artifacts and using the latest technologies to engage the modern museum visitor. In the case of Snøhetta and the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, these North Dakota Badlands, more than ever, will be a place where, like Theodore Roosevelt, people will come to be inspired to dare greatly, think boldly, live passionately, and care deeply. And now, The Great American Folk Show, a little place on the radio where we commune with you to share stories, sing songs, and talk to some good people with great voices. Stay with us over the next hour as we bring you poets Bridget Bianca and Gino Skye, singer-songwriters Chuck Suki, Suzanne Valley, and Lisa Sanders, plus folk artist Angelina Elise and zine maker Jonas Cannon. I'm Joe Wiegand. Good to have you with us on Prairie Public. Here's your host, Tom Brousseau.
My father-in-law, Tom Davenport, a retired high school teacher from Clearfield, Utah, sent a country song to me not too long ago called 2020 Vision in Walking Around Blind. It's kind of a double meaning to it, he noted. On the one hand, the year is 2020, same as the title of the song, and on the other, despite the fact it was written in another time and another place, it seems to be related to what's been happening lately. Now would be a good time to sing it. Well, thank you, Tom, for sending me the song. I really appreciate it. I'm going to give it a go now with a little help from my friend, Sean Watkins. Hey, Sean, how you doing, old pal?
I'm doing well, TB. Let me plug in my electric and let's do this number.
Sounds good. Count us off, will you?
One, two, three, two, two, three.
I went to the doctor, he says I'm all right. I know that he's lying, I'm losing my sight. He should have examined the eyes of my mind. 20/20 vision and walking around blind. Since she's gone and left me, I feel so alone. I carry a heart that's as heavy as stone. I know that she cheated, I knew all the time. 20/20 vision. Walking around blind. My eyes wide open, I lay in my bed. If it wasn't for dying, I wish I were dead. This is my punishment, death is too kind. I've got 20/20 vision and walking around blind. Just couldn't know her the way that I do. You say that she's wicked, and maybe it's true. One thing I do know, she's no longer mine.
20/20 vision and walking around blind.
I've lost her, I've lost her, oh, what will I do? I bet you're not happy if she's there with you. The eyes of your heart will grow troubled like mine.
20/20 vision and walking.
Bridget Bianca is a professor and a poet. Her first collection of poetry, Be Trouble, was published by Writ Large Press earlier this year. Her release party, held at the venue The Virgil in Los Angeles, California in February, is detailed in a review by Brian Dunlop for the website Los Angeles Literature, and I just love what he had to say about it. He said the audience that night needed Bianca's poetry, that her poetry spoke truths that are not heard enough. And he said that it was the first poetry reading that he could remember where the audience chanted for an encore. Bridget Bianca joins us now from South Central Los Angeles, California, with The Talk.
The Talk. Lesson number one, no toy guns, no running in public, no hands in pockets, no outside voices. Act like you got the sense God gave you. Act like you've been somewhere. Act like you got somewhere to be. Act like you got a mama who raised you within an inch of your life. Don't you cut up in front of these white people. Do you want them to take you away from me? Tie all bags at the top before entering. Don't touch anything you don't plan to buy. Didn't I tell you? Take your hands out of your pockets. Don't swing your arms when you walk. Take your hands off your imagination. You acting like you grown? Mind your mouth. I swear for God. You better not let me catch you doing something you ain't supposed to, and you better not have nothing in your pockets. I don't care what they said to you. I don't care what the others get away with. They are not my child. I don't care if their parents don't hold their breath when they see your face flash across the evening news or their news freeze. Just bring your tail home. I don't want you out of my sight. Because if I can't see you, if I can't hear you breathing, then every siren is always headed in your direction. Every face in despair, every body on the ground, every bowed head in cuffs, every gasp for breath, every plea for mercy, every hand up in the air, every fist balled in anger or fear looks like it belongs to you, and you are mine. But they can take you away from me, don't you know that? So you've got to know better, do better, be better. And I know even that won't really save you, but what else can I do? So lesson number one, no toy guns, no running in public, no hands in pockets, no outside voices. Act like you got the sense God gave you. Act like you've been somewhere. Act like you got somewhere to be. Act like you got a mama who raised you with every inch of her life, and get your behind back in this house. Don't make me tell you again.
Baby, I'm uncomfortable. Why do you talk?
Chuck Suki is a farmer, a teacher, an accomplished guitar and accordion player, a storyteller, and a celebrated songwriter from Morton County, North Dakota. In 2015, he was one of the recipients of North Dakota's Governor's Awards for the Arts. He's released several albums of original music. Here's a few. Dakota Breezes, 1987, produced by Peter Ostrushko. Dancing Dakota, written and released in conjunction with the North Dakota Bicentennial, 1989. And Evening in Paris, 2004, which James M. Mannheim of the Ann Arbor Observer called a superb piece of work. All of his albums are essential listening. His brand of poetic observation, honesty, and humbleness will put you there. The Great Plains, very much a part of all the livingness living in it.
Our farm is about 10 miles out of town. And when I was young and attending Mass with my mom every Sunday, we'd drive into town. On the way home, there was a little store by the golf course on the edge of town called the Park Store. And we'd pull over and I'd run in with a couple of quarters and come out with two candy bars, one for my mom, one for me. And we'd proceed on out to the farm, and not even be an eighth of a mile up the hill out of town, I would have those candy bars unwrapped and roll down the window and throw the wrappers out into the road ditch without thinking about it for a second, because that was just the accepted way and the train of thought. And we hadn't thought through things like litter and pollution, I guess. And later, I realized that often I'd also passed by what I called shadows of the spirit of the vanquished on their way out to the Standing Rock community, which was further south of us. And we would pass by them without thinking a thing of it, almost not even seeing them. It's like they were invisible or didn't matter. And that too was just the way it was. It was our accepted way of thought about them. When I was about 15, I was allowed to haul some truckloads of grain into town for the first time during harvest, and I was feeling so grown up and so important, driving that great big 1955 Dodge 1.5-ton truck with a flathead 6 on into town with maybe 150 bushels of hard red spring wheat to the grain elevator, where I'd dump it off, and it would be hauled off to St. Paul or the Great Lakes, and from there onto a mill someplace. And from there, the flour from the wheat would be sent to bakeries, and it would be then baked into bread, and it would show up on people's breakfast tables as toast. And I knew all that, and it felt like being part of something real important. So when I came upon one of these so-called shadows, I saw him up the road ahead of me, and I heard a little voice inside of me say, "Slow down. It's a hot day. He could probably use a ride." And maybe because I was feeling so grown up and being part of such a large endeavor, I don't know. But I did stop. I slowed down, kicked open the side door, and he climbed in. We proceeded on our way. I wanted to impress him with how well I could double clutch and not grind a single gear, but he was not to be impressed, and he just quietly sat staring straight ahead, and I became increasingly nervous at his silence. And then finally, he broke the silence, and he spoke, and he said, "Yeah, I'm Rainbow. Kenny Rainbow. Yeah, I'm a singer, you know." And I remember thinking, what, like Johnny Cash? Or what are you talking about? Because there was too much differential in culture and age and perhaps time. But it never left me. And some 30, 35 years later, it dawned on me, as I had learned more, that he was trying to tell me that he was somebody, that he wasn't just the shadow of the spirit, of the vanquished, invisible. He wasn't just a candy wrapper discarded along the highway. He was somebody. And it occurred to me that we all want to be known as somebody. In my daddy's old truck, Dodge G55, I was 15 years old, just coming alive. He stood on the shoulder, too proud to ask. I threw her in neutral, slipped off the gas. I slowed to a roll on the gravelly grade. He climbed in the cab, no eye contact made. 6 miles of silence, head held up high. To my question unasked, I heard his reply. I'm a rainbow, Kenny Rainbow, I'm a singer, you know. On the highway to heaven, the journey is slow. Till I come to my drum at the big powwow show. I'm a rainbow, Kenny Rainbow, I'm a singer, you know. His voice held conviction from deep within inside, deeper than ego and far beyond pride. 30 years later, came to me clear, he was a keeper of culture and stories to hear. My head in its youth passed over his words. My heart held the truth of all that it heard. We came to his corner, I know I was blessed, as he called from the gravel and into my past. I'm a rainbow, Kenny Rainbow, I'm a singer, you know. On the highway to heaven, the journey is slow. Till I come to my drum at the big powwow show. I'm a rainbow, Kenny Rainbow, I'm a singer, you know. Now I sing the stage lights, clear prairie stars, in holy old churches, smoke holy bars. I bury my neighbors with song. I know I'm a singer and where I belong. Like Rainbow, Kenny Rainbow, I'm a singer, you know. On the highway to heaven, the journey is slow. Till I come to my drum at the big powwow show. Like Rainbow, Kenny Rainbow, I'm a singer, you know. Like Rainbow, Kenny Rainbow, I'm a singer, you know. When the world seems washed away, don't know what to say or do. Above the water on the rise, starry skies seem far and few. Somehow we've got to find the love. Find the love in all the heartache and pain. Find the love, earth will turn in healing change. When the world seems torn apart, broken heart into. And all you thought you knew is not. Got to find what's true. Find the love. Find the love in all the heartache and pain. Find the love, find the love. Somehow we've got to find the love. It's not all up to you. Sun and moon know it true. River do what a river do. Find the love. Find the love. In all this mess, confess, construe. Find the love, find the love. Somehow we're gonna find the love.
It's the Great American Folk Show.
Our next guest is Jonas Cannon, a writer, a longtime zine enthusiast, and zine maker. What is a zine, you might be wondering? Well, Z-I-N-E, zine, and he's going to tell you all about it.
I've been making zines for about 20 to 25 years or so. If you're not familiar, a zine is a self-published work. It's a small publication with a print run of anywhere between 1 and 1,000 copies, and usually priced somewhere between $1 and $10. Now, I have seen zines that were way more than $10, and I've seen many zines that were absolutely free, but that's the general price range. Honestly, after that, I can't really define zines any other way. It's all open to interpretation. Some zines are collections of fiction, or poetry, or baking recipes. Some zines are more autobiographical, just dealing with a person's thoughts, emotions, experiences, ideas. We tend to call these perzines or personal zines. I know a lot of zines are about the current political climate, maybe the Black Lives Matter movement. I know some zines are about life during a pandemic. But then alternatively, there are other zines that are just about favorite bands, movies, TV shows, books, plays. This harkens back to what some consider to be the origin of the zine, which is the fanzine. It goes back several decades ago, where people would write about their favorite sci-fi magazine or TV show or book or movie and share them with like-minded individuals to create this sense of community, of camaraderie. This evolved over the years to what it was when I got introduced to zines around the early 90s through punk. And going to smaller venues, basement shows, shows in someone's living room, stuff like that, you'd often see somebody selling their zine. And their zine might just be about their favorite punk band or indie band or favorite album or favorite show or all of the above. And they would distribute these zines locally, regionally, nationally, or if they could, globally, whatever was in their means. And it would be a way for them to share the things that really mattered to them and at the same time promote those bands. Because these smaller indie and punk bands didn't really have a great way to promote themselves without record labels. I mean, this was at a time when the internet wasn't really a thing, or at least it wasn't the thing it is now. So something like a zine was just amazing promotion for a smaller band. Of course, zines evolved even from there to where now they're not really tethered to sci-fi or punk. It's a much broader thing. And I love that because you can write about anything. You know, you don't have to think of a specific fan base, audience, or clique. I mean, you write about whatever you want, find some means to publish it, and either keep it to yourself, share it with your friends and family, or try to distribute it as widely as possible. It's all up to you. There's no editor or publisher that you have to answer for because you are the editor, you are the publisher, and you have the choice of refining your voice as much as possible or just delivering the sort of raw, unedited voice and just letting out your thoughts and emotions that way. And that's something so great that you don't have to filter or limit your voice at all. Like, nobody has to read your stupid zine, you know? It's all up to you. And often you'll find a fan base just because people gravitate towards that raw emotion that resonates with them. That's what it was for me. That's why I'll be reading and making zines for the rest of my life. I just love them.
We'd like to take a moment now and thank our sponsor, Hugo's Family Marketplace. Groceries, bakery, deli, floral, you name it. Hugo's, local and family-owned, serving 10 locations in North Dakota and Minnesota since 1939.
Lisa Sanders is a performer and a songwriter, originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. While she always knew she wanted to do music full-time when she was growing up, and she received much encouragement from her family to pursue it, she worked a number of side jobs to help get herself there. She worked at a grocery store for 15 years. She was a salesman. She was a bartender. She worked in landscaping. You know, being a musician kind of means you just got to go out there and forge your own way, because no one's going to do it for you. And while you might have some good breaks, it's not all going to be easy stuff. If you're listening now, and music is your dream, but you've yet to go out and really follow that dream, let me tell you, the ones who make it keep in mind two things. And certainly, Lisa Sanders had them both at the forefront of her own mind when she was just starting out. One, you gotta be yourself. And two, you gotta believe in yourself. Lisa has toured all over. She's released many albums of original music. And she's shared the stage with some truly legendary people. B.B. King is one of them, Bonnie Raitt, and Al Green. It is a pleasure to have Lisa Sanders on the Great American Folk Show.
This is a little tune called Butterfly. It's about a high school crush. Old, my last year in high school, I'm racing round the track. I was feeling pretty good, I was making my best time till I felt a crash. And as I'm going down, see your face in the crowd, and I don't care about it's not going anywhere when you're around. And how about those butterflies? We never talk about it. By the way, you look good in those jeans. How did you know? And I'm doing fine, 'cause you're my best friend. I study hard, I play hard. Oops, I'm drunk again. And you hold back my hair so I don't mess up my clothes. And I don't care, 'cause touching me everywhere touched my heart. And how about those stars we see? We never talk about, but by the way, your smile helped me pass the bar exam. How did you know? And you look at me, electricity. You say you don't care, 'cause you're not going anywhere without me there. And how about all those years we'll spend? And now talk about those smiley faces, butterflies, electrifying, starry-eyed love. How about those butterflies? How about those? All those years we'll spend. And now we know. And now we know. Streaking across the sky, strawberry cream and apple pie, ocean water splashing over my feet, the moon hanging high. That's how I feel about you. I enjoy the company of you. Little things make me care about you. Even when we're sad or blue, there's a silver lining. Surrendering to the summer's day, laughing all our cares away. Sipping wine in the sweet sunshine, I love to see you dance. That's how I feel about you. Time goes on and the years roll by, and still my heart belongs to you. Comet streaking across the sky, over my feet, the moon hanging high. Surrendering to the summer's day, laughing all our cares away. Sipping wine in the sweet sunshine, I love to see you dance. That's how I feel about you. choo-choo.
We might title this next little segment, A Glimpse into the World of Folk Artist Angelina Elise. She designs all sorts of things, from posters to bolo ties to money holders. Visit her website at angelinaelise.com to see her work. That's E-L-I-S-E. The instrument straps alone, which she designs by chiseling into the leather and then she hand paints them, are out of this world. There's one that, when I first saw it, it took my breath away, and I wished it were mine right then and there. I don't really know why. This particular instrument strap, it had a woman on it in black boots and a black hat with long black hair, and she's holding on to a crocodile. They're dancing together beneath a fingernail moon. And that's it. That's what's on the instrument strap. Maybe it's because I had an eerily similar dream one time where there I was down by the swamp at midnight, and somewhere out there I could just make out two figures swaying together in a boat. But it wasn't a crocodile, and I'll tell you this, it wasn't a lady. A glimpse into the world of folk artist Angelina Elise.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for letting me share a little about myself and my craft with your audience. My name's Angelina Elise, and I draw and create banjo and guitar straps for some of my favorite musicians. My first introduction to old time was through the band Triple Chickenfoot, but a monthly jam at the bar I worked at called the Hyperion Tavern in my early 20s in Los Angeles. I grew up listening to country and blues and loved all genres of music, but knew nothing about old time. From that point, my whole life changed, and a door opened to a community of people who have since become lifelong friends and earliest supporters of my work. Old time and all the social aspects of it had such an impression on me as a young person. I spent many years playing music, baking cakes, attending square dances, and drawing posters for events. I've always enjoyed drawing and making things. I only ever took a couple college drawing classes, but never pursued art as a career because art schools were expensive and I wanted to travel. I didn't know exactly what folk art was until I discovered in my research other artists who made art and didn't have a fine art degree. They were just regular people. I started to use the word folk art to describe my own art and use it as a way to represent my own feelings of how I saw the world. Over the years, the old-time and Cajun music scenes have inspired me greatly. I have often been asked if the women in my work are me. At first, I was always quick to say no, but I think with time I learned to own my work, no matter how cheeky or tragic people find it to be, or inappropriate for that matter. They are in a way an extension of myself, and I try my best not to sell myself short these days and trust in what and how I create and just hope people like it. This music has taught me an awful lot about love and loss and helped me discover who I am as a person. My now husband was the reason I started doing leather work after he gifted me tools one year. The last 6 years, I've been creating one-of-a-kind banjo and guitar straps for people. I'm by far not a traditional leather worker. Everything I learned was from trial and error, and I probably wasted a lot of leather in the process. But I saw it as another medium my art could be transferred to in a practical and functional way. The more tools I acquired, the more skills I developed, and better I got, and I'm still learning new techniques every day. Sometimes I cringe when I see an old piece I've made, but it's a good reminder how far I've come and how much music and dance has always been the underlying reason of why I do anything. It's such an honor to create a piece for a musician, and I'm always humbled in many ways when people who've seen my work reach out to me and ask me to make something for them. The straps are my favorite pieces to make, although my leather cast iron skillet handles are my best seller. The straps I make are expensive, and I had to get used to pricing my work that was equal to the time and heart it takes to create it. I try to make my work affordable to people who want it enough to hang it in their homes or wear it while playing their guitar. I would say I'm more of a dancer and fan of traditional forms of music. I've only ever learned to play a few chords on a guitar, enough to sing to myself when I'm feeling blue or lonely, which is more often these days. My friends are always encouraging, though, and I believe that's an important foundation of the old-time way to keep tradition moving. I find my art and leather work are my way of contributing artistically to the long line of tradition that surrounds this type of music and dance, which led me down a path of corn-cobbed men and naked women who fly and take you whiskey through your window late at night. I moved to Washington State almost a year ago, and as usual, I'm always finding new ways to be inspired, trying to keep my sense of humor about the world, and always doing something with these hands. Right now, I'm painting and staining all the furniture in our home. I sure miss playing tunes, campouts, festivals, square dances, and honky-tonks, sharing a drink and having a meaningful conversation with new and old friends, in the arms of some of my favorite people, not paying attention to the world melting away in synchronicity of it all. I know I'm not alone in these feelings. This unexpected year for artists and musicians alike is painful. I hope this gives people a little view into my world. Now, I'm going to go listen to some music and practice my two-step with my dog so I don't forget what I'm doing when we're able to see each other again one day. Until then, I hope you all are watching out for each other.
Gino Sky is the author of two novels and several collections of short stories and poetry. At one time, he was a literary magazine editor. He was born in Pocatello, Idaho, in 1935. His career in writing is an important one, and also fascinating. He was part of what became known as Haight Ashbury in San Francisco, California. He was there in 1965 and saw the whole movement take shape. Not too long ago, I visited with Gino in Salt Lake City, Utah, where he and his wife Barb reside, and I toted with me a recorder and recorded him reading a handful of his poems. I thought what I'd do is spread out that recording session over a few broadcasts, kind of like a serialization, whereby unfolding his biography and his poems at a natural, easy pace, and not all at once, because there's a lot to the man, there's a lot of history involved, and there's a lot to learn. Think of this as Gino Sky, Part 1, Dignity.
And I'm up when you're with me, and the up is a nice place to be.
My friend Rosalie Sorrells, the folk singer, carried this around, and she even memorized it, which I've never been able to do. And she would read this when she performed on stage. Dignity. The old truck we used to bring in our winter wood didn't have a driver's side window. The heater was broken, and the brakes only seemed to take hold just before going over the low side. As a matter of choice, my grandfather would always wait until the first snow to go out and haul in the wood, because he thought it would be showing off if we brought the wood in too early. Many a time I thought my fingers and toes would crack off from riding in the cab, or that Grandpa would roll the truck on a hairpin curve with five cords of wood in the back. But we loved it no matter what, and after the wood was in, we would let it rest all winter long. Almost every farm had a truck like that. Bald tires, leaky radiator that was fixed by adding a box of Quaker oatmeal, a plug of chewing tobacco, or both. The windshield wipers were gone and couldn't be replaced. No one could remember what happened to the title, and there was never any insurance. But somehow it always got the job done. After the last cord of wood was stacked, we hunkered around a barrel fire, drank coffee or cocoa, and someone would always say, "What a great truck." It's the same way some of us deal with our health problems. Like the old truck, we limp along, and most of the time the job gets done. No spares, some parts are missing, but we keep on running. After World War II, almost everyone was able to have health insurance. It didn't cost that much, and people started living longer. Doctors got rich, but that was all right. It was called investing in the quality of life, and the money was well worth it. About 20 years ago, it all changed. Most of my friends can't afford the exorbitant prices of health insurance, and having a baby went from $300 to $6,000 in one generation. It has become a no-win situation, and we are stuck with what our bodies decide to do. We joke about marrying a Canadian for that country's national health insurance, but that's as far as that fantasy has ever gone. Once again, it's like having the old truck back. If something breaks, we live with it. And if it conks out, all we can do is celebrate. Having dignity as our only insurance, that's what we toast when our friends go over the low side.
Feel like a broke down angel, ain't got no driving skill. Feel like a broke down engine, mama, ain't got no driving wheel. You've been down and lonesome, you know how a poor man feels.
I remember one time being in Vermilion, South Dakota. There was an old movie theater downtown, and the movie playing was Backdraft. I was one of maybe 20 people who'd gone to see it that night. Whenever someone got up to go to the concession stand or use the washroom, their footsteps made a loud trailing sound, kind of like footsteps going down a hallway or something, because the theater still had hardwood floors. And I'd never been into a movie theater with hardwood floors before. It was a sweltering summer evening. Lots of little bugs fluttering around, lots of little outside lights, but nice and cool and dark in the theater. And isn't that such a great place to be? Suzanne Valley is our next guest. She's from that part of the States. She's from Clay County, South Dakota. She's a singer, songwriter, and performer. We've been playing phone tag lately. I called her the other day to say hello, see how she was doing and what she'd been up to. It went straight to voicemail. She called me back. I must have had my ringer turned off. Anyway, I love getting messages, and the one she left me was pretty darn charming, so I thought I'd share it with you.
Hi, Tom. It was so nice to hear from you. It's been a little bit lonely on the ridge. Yesterday, I tried to keep a wrong number on the phone with me just for company. The poor guy kept saying, "Well, must be a mistake then." But I wanted to chat, so I went on and on. I live pretty far in the country. I'm in Big Sur, California. It's an hour to the grocery store and 30 minutes to the post office. There's only one road out, Highway 1. You can go north or south. West is all Pacific Ocean. East are the mountains, which are tall and rocky and sometimes on fire. I can't recommend going east or west if you're in any kind of a hurry, especially if you want to get home before your ice cream melts. Recently, my loneliness shrank a little bit. I made friends with some birds, a family of scrub jays. I call us friends, but they see me some other way probably. If you haven't seen one, a scrub jay has pretty blue feathers with touches of white and black. The gang around my cabin squawk when I walk out my door. They follow me in case I'm throwing out overripe strawberries. My grandma loved birds. In my cabin, I keep a painting she made of a red cardinal. It's perched on a snowy branch with its face turned, so the eye is looking right at you. It's that curious eye when birds size you up. And I think sometimes they pity us for having no feathers. But I don't mind. I enjoy a little pity. Not everything has gone right for me, and it doesn't do me any harm if the birds know about it. When things go right, like when I can have friends over for music and dancing and good food, nobody can squawk like me. Till next time, Tom. Take care.
Recently, Suzanne released her debut album, Love Lives Where Rules Die, hailed a folk rock masterpiece by Q magazine. Here's Suzanne Valley again, this time singing two songs, Love Letter and Ocean Cliff Drive.
Kiss of the western sky, I promise she won't forget you if you stay in her golden days. You're tall on a horse, short on the floor, with a drink to your health and a lick from the dog. Laughing and singing that song about true hearts doing wrong. Could be your life written as a love letter. Pick your star and walk that way. Beautiful, wise, hiding, knowing better. You tried, we all know you tried. Ocean Cliff Drive, ghost lit, smiling while it winds, hook in. Danger keeps my eyes on it, giant waves glide, then sit. rain runs deep within each niche. Tears the divide for which water gets divine. Go on its way to wine. Honey, I can't see the road ahead of me, but I'm coming. Ocean cliff drive, ghost lit, holding on to air, hoping. Fog can fool my eyes, feeling wind borne in waves and breathing. When you see me a ways and a whistling, you speak, I can't hear, but I'm listening. Closer, please, I'm begging. I wanna start a kiss with no ending. Honey, I can't see the road ahead of me. Honey, I can't see the road ahead of me. Honey, I can't see the road ahead of me. But I'm
Great American Folk Show would like to thank Bridget Bianca, Gino Sky, Chuck Suki, Suzanne Valley, Lisa Sanders, Angelina Elise, and Jonas Cannon. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. End theme by Berkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mike Renner at KDIX, Dickinson, North Dakota. Robbie Robinson of Robinson Mastering in San Juan Capistrano, California. Our sponsor, Hugo's Family Marketplace. The Great American Folk Show was written and recorded by Tom Brousseau, produced and edited by Eric Dethridge and Bill Thomas. I'm Joe Wiegand. May you always find the sun until we meet again.
For more information about this program, please visit prairiepublic.org. On the next episode of The Great American Folk Show, singer-songwriters Trey Burt and Sophia Wolfson, musician Sebastian Steinberg, and watch out, he's going to be bringing some cool jazz. Poet Gino Sky, Part 2. Joe Wiegand with more notes from the Badlands. And you know what? There's going to be a couple of more surprises. So we'll see you then.